Today's reading is in Galatians. We're going to be in 1:15, but let me start there in 11. But it says, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." What does he mean by that? See, I like to challenge you. If you don't get into this and you don't really be challenged, I'm just preaching to you all the time, right? So what does that mean, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man? What does that mean?
Mine says is not of human origin.
Okay. Which translation's that?
I'm the one behind you.
Okay. It is the NIV. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, and that's good. So what does that mean?
You're preaching God's word. You're preaching about God.
Okay. Is that common in the church, though? Think about this a minute. Is that... There's a lot of denominations and churches, though, would say what? That you're not... That's not correct, would it? Because this is the way it is, you know. We was talking about that this morning a little bit about how churches are, and sometimes it becomes almost like dogmatic if this is the way that everything is structured, right? But listen to what Paul's saying here. He's kind of defending his ministry.
Yes.
And because he was already in his short ministry to starting here in Galatians, was having to actually defend his ministry and what he believed. And when we got some text about some stuff this week too. And the reason I want to bring this up, because it's really, it gets people staying at home. That's not probably good English, but it makes people want to not go to church. It makes people, a lot of times when we say, this is the only way that it is, that's not right. This translation is, and that's good. I'm glad you brought that up, because what is the difference in that translation right there, really? I want you to know, brother and sister, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. In this translation, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by the revelation from Jesus Christ. Now, hold that thought, and it goes on. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but received it from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. What is he saying right there? Now, that was my translation. Now, look at this one. What does he mean? My previous way of life in Judaism.
In Judaism, it was very legalistic and traditions, bound by traditions. So just like churches sometimes always doing things the exact same way because that's how it was handed down, he was very legalistic and very zealous and promoted legalism and tradition as opposed to the revelation of God. And if I can share that one thing, the reason why the Jews had gotten to the point when God no longer started visiting them, and when they could no longer do sacrifices because the Romans, took everything away from them, they turned away from a relationship with God and focused instead on studying the Word and becoming experts on the Bible, on the Torah, and the Spirit of God no longer had any place.
Mm. So, that's a great point. Not only did they lose God's presence and God leading them and guiding them through the Holy Spirit and actually receiving, they become legalistic. They become, dogmatic in the fact that we know everything.
Yes.
We this is the way it is, and that's the only way it is. Does that sound familiar sometimes in the church and the body of Christ? A lot of times, well, no, you just can't do it that way. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. Right? That's not church over there. You're meeting in a double wide trailer. Well, that ain't church. Come on, you know what I'm saying. Well, that church is too big. There just ain't no spirit there. So what do? We become legalistic. We become judgmental and legalistic. And last week I talked about righteousness and judgment. But that's all God. That's what God is, right? He's righteous, but he must judge. So keep that in mind. So what we do, what's happening is here, Paul's defending his ministry and saying that you didn't teach me this. Even though I was a Jew, right? He was a Jew. But before, in his past, what was he doing? He was legalistic. He had all these rules and things, and he was actually a killer. He went around with all the others that thought they knew everything, and this is the way it was, with rules and regulations. You see what I'm saying? And then Paul said, you know, until he come to the understanding of what meant to, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but listen what it says in 15. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, you've heard that. God knew you when? Even before you were born. He had a plan. He had a purpose for all our lives. Even before my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me that I might preach or proclaim him among the Gentiles. And I did not immediately consult with what?
Any human being.
This says flesh and blood. Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. And then he goes on and he shares where he's been and what he's been doing. But look at that 15 and focus on that right there. And listen to what Oswald Chambers says. As workers for God, and we have to learn to make room for God. To give God elbow room. That's pretty good. Give God elbow room. We calculate and estimate and say that this and that will happen, and we forget to make room for God to come in as He chooses. That isn't like as we choose, as He chooses. Would we be surprised if God came into our meeting or into our preaching in a way we had never looked for Him to come? Do not look for God to come in any particular way, but look for Him. That is the way to make room for Him. Expect Him to come. But do not expect Him only in a certain way. However much we may know God, the great lesson to learn is that at any minute He may break in.
Yes.
We're apt to overlook this element of surprise, yet God never works in any other way. All of a sudden, God meets the life when it was the good pleasure of God. It says, keep your life so constant in its contact with God that His surprising power may break out on the right hand and on the left. Always be in a state of expectancy and see that you leave room for God to come in as He likes. You see, what Paul's saying here is what? No man taught him. He received through what? The revelation of God Himself through the Holy Spirit. And what's happening, guys, is, and what Oswald's saying here, expect the unexpected. Expect God at any time to move in and come in and change the whole program. Change everything about what church is. Change everything about what you are and you're supposed. You think you're supposed to be. Your family, your relationships, or whatever. God can do whatever He sees fit. But what happens most of the time, we're always quenching the Spirit. We're never in a place where we're expecting God to do that. And honestly, there's so many dead churches out there right now. I mean, you can have the greatest band and choirs, and you can have the greatest preachers and everything else. And we were talking about this morning, me and Kevin. But the fact is, what are you taking with you when you go and you be fed? Are you really receiving something that when Monday comes, you can apply it in your life? Are you really receiving something that's going to make a difference? Or are you just going to church and you just saying, I go to church? Okay? That's legalism. That's all it is. Just like what Paul was saying, he's telling him, he's defending himself. Listen, I don't live by the old nature of the law anymore. I live by the Spirit. Yes. Now I'm walking in the Spirit of God. I get revelations all the time, is what Paul's saying. And see, that's what we should be doing as believers, and as the body of Christ does that, and like we're going to understand today in our discipleship, when the body of Christ begins to understand their gifts and talents and all the things in their life, then guess what? That we have the fullness of God. In our church, we have the fullness of God in our lives, in our families. But most of the time, you know, we're out, you know, going through life. We go to Sunday and we have the, you know, praise and worship and all. It's like we go to Monday and we get back in a different whole world. We're like living two different lifestyles, like Paul's talking about here. Listen, I don't live by that anymore. That man is dead. And when we become baptized, that's what it's supposed to be. Baptism is an outward expression of who we've become now. The old man is dead and buried with Christ. The new man is raised to the newness of life. It's not about that old man anymore. Listen, Snake don't live no more than Ronnie. Ronnie is raised to the newness of life in Christ, and Christ in me. Listen, I couldn't get up here and give you anything. I barely could read through school. But it comes like Paul said, it comes through a revelation of God and who He really is in my life now, that I can get up here and even share and talk to people outward, go to the jails and tell people the good news. There's something better than living that same old lifestyle and being in that insanity of where you're just doing that same thing over and over again. Well, this time I'm going to do it different, you know. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to go to church one day. Listen, that ain't what it is. What it is the newness of God and living and walking through the power of the Holy Spirit day by day by day and step by step and learning who we are and getting the revelations. This guy, the other night I was in the jail, I was sharing with this guy, and I said, what's God been showing you through this word? And he said, well, you know, I talked with... when I was in here 4 years ago, I'll share this real quick. He said, Chaplain Owen Blankenship, I didn't know nothing about the Bible. He got saved, all right, in jail. And he says, he told me to go read John, the book of John. And that's what, you know, that's a great book, a gospel for people who don't know Christ to live by. All right, and understand who God is and who Christ was. So, and then he said, you know, when I read through that and I went and told him, and he, you know what he told me? He said, read it again. And I read it again. And I went back to it. And he said, read it again. He said, after the fourth time, he said, every time I read it, it was different. I said, wonder why that was.
Oh, that's good.
And he says, well, I don't know. Every time I read it, it was there. I said, because this is the living Word of God. It changed. It becomes part of us, and we need it every day. It can be for what I need that day.
Yes.
It ain't just another book. It's the truth. It's who God is. He give it through revelation and understanding. Now, and to tell you something, that we have all these that these days, a lot of times, and people are getting twisted up and mixed up about, you know, well, does the Bible really talk about speaking in tongues this way? Or who was those over the, you know, the giants and stuff? We get twisted up in this. Once saved, always saved, or losing your salvation and things like that. But what we do is say, well, no, this is the way it is, and that's the only way. Well, my Bible tells me I get a revelation every time I read it, and it might apply to me, and I see something different. But it don't change the truth. That's what sets us apart and sets us free. Now, is it really important? Yeah, it's really important that you understand that you're born again. You know, it's really important to understand the meaning of what it means. But is it really important to say that I'm right and he's wrong?
Come on.
That church is not a church, because it don't have a steeple in a big, big, wide building. Or that preacher is right and this preacher's wrong.
What about denominations?
That denomination is right and this one's wrong. No, we've blessed God that, you know, it was good enough for Grandpa. It was good enough for me. It was good enough for his grandpa. That's no different than politics. It's that, you know, well, I'm Democrat and I'm Republican. My grandpa was Democrat and now, you know. What is that? Legalism all down the line. So what Paul's trying to say, he's defending, and you don't hear Paul ever, except in this time, talk about defending himself. He got a little bit, I believe, twisted up, you know, because listen, God has sent me not only to the Jews, he says, to the Gentiles, the lost, not God's chosen, but even to the other side. Even the disciples got twisted up and got legalistic until they got revelation through the Holy Spirit, didn't they?
Yep.
They, you know, they were still arguing over whether they could eat meat because it was the Jewish way.
Are they circumcision?
Circumcision.
Yep.
And listen, and then it takes somebody getting the revelation and stand up, wait a minute. No, it ain't about that anymore. It's about the heart. The circumcision of the heart.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? What I'm trying to get out this morning, though, is the fact that, listen, it is important that we know, that we know, that we know. And I don't get caught up in that I know and he's wrong and all that. What I do know is that I know that when Christ come into my life, he changed me.
Amen.
He circumcised. He started this old hard heart and he started just molding it on that potter's wheel. And he said, I'm forming you, Ronnie, and I'm working on you. Boy, you're rough over here. I'm going to smooth that edge out. We need to get that gone out of your life. Just let me work a little more over here. But you know what? You're stubborn. You got to go through this and go around the mountain one more time. So I don't get caught up in it. You know, was I going to hell at that period of time in my life? That, or was I backslidden? Because in 1972, I knew Jesus. I received Jesus, my Lord, as a kid. But what I didn't have for 17 years, I didn't have him as a king of kings and lord of lords. I needed a lord, and I didn't have that part. They didn't, nobody teach me that. They didn't, nobody disciple me. I just thought, well, yeah, you got to go to the altar, you get saved. But it's more than that. There's something, God wants to become lord of your life. And men, we were talking the other night, I'm going to minister maybe next week or the next on the kingdom of God. We don't have a... a clue what the kingdom of God is. Most people don't. And there's nothing wrong. It is streets of gold. Kevin shared the other night. What do you think about when you think about the kingdom of God? Most people think about streets of gold and all this stuff. But the truth is, it's more. It's more than that. And I almost let my message...
I was getting lost, what heaven would be like.
Yeah.
You know,
well, like the kingdom of God. Oh, see, that's what I mean. We think about heaven. Mm-hmm. So, but it's, that's good.
Yeah.
But there's more. And there's something more God wants to give each and every one of us as believers, revelation and understanding and knowledge. And not that we could puff up, like it says, Paul said, not that we puff up because we, I got this, you know. God give me this revelation, and mine's right, and yours is wrong. But that's what happens most of the, a lot of times. Now, I say this, and I'm going to stop, and we'll pray, and then we're going to have our discipleship. There's probably, if I go door to door right now, if I went to probably 100 homes around here, and we're going to share in a few weeks, we're going into some serious evangelism. Because that's what God wants us to do, share the good news, okay? And we were talking again this morning about that earlier. Most people don't know how to share the good news and lead someone to Christ. You say, well, that's not me. I'm not called to do that. Well, what did Jesus tell them? What did he tell his disciples to do before he went to the cross?
Go out into all the world and make disciples.
Yeah. Go out into all the world, make disciples. Well, they can't become disciples
until they're converted.
Right? And so, we can't get to heaven on grandma's grace, good righteousness and all that. We can only get to heaven one way. And that's through relationship with Jesus Christ. And knowing that I know that I know that I know. I'll never forget me and my grandma one time, and I was kind of at that point young in my calling. God called me. And we were talking about when she got saved and all this, and I asked her about my grandpa, you know. Because my grandpa, you know, he was a wild man at one time. He was like I used to be. But everybody loved him. And, you know, but he could be ornery. He could be, then a minute, he could be the sweetest, most humble person you ever met. And she said, Ronnie, you know, I used to think about that. But I asked, you know, well, Poppy's all right. I mean, that's what I called him. Poppy's all right, ain't he? She says, you know, Ronnie, I used to worry about that. But one time me and Wesley was talking, and she said, he said, and one of his words was confounded. I don't know, it's just one of them words. Confounded Edith, you know. I'm good. If I die tonight, today. And then he grinned, you know. And she said, I got peace right then that he was fine. Now, everybody don't show the fruit the way everybody's different. But you know, it ain't about that this is right, this is wrong. It's about knowing in your heart and that when it comes time that when you stand before God, and he asked you, why should I let you into my kingdom? Why should I let you into this place? What will your answer be? And if you got doubts, you know, then you need to check yourself. You know, you need to, and, oh, there's so many scriptures, and I don't want to go too far here, but is anybody getting one? Does this make sense? I want you to today think about, like, the scripture that Oswald says, the little 1:15, but when is it pleases God? What is pleasing God right now in our lives, you know? What is is it really that we come to church? No, it's not. That's what everybody thinks. That's not pleasing God. What pleases God is that we are the church.
Yes.
Not that we go to church. It's so backwards in this world today. We're not here to play church. We're not here to have a place for you to come. I mean, it's great we come here, but it's that we be the church. We are the church. We are the kingdom of God. So, like Paul says, you know, by the revelation and understanding of that, when he got struck down on that road, it changed his life. There's change that comes when we're born again. Then you don't have to wander again. You don't repeat the works over again. But if you're not living for God, you repent. You place your faith in Him again. I do every day. You know, I'm always surrendering. But that's the key, surrendering to Him as Lord. So I hope this is good for somebody today. And I'm going to pray now. And I'm going to ask the Lord to show us through our rest of our message today revelation and understanding. And that, you know, that some of you are going to get up here and have that. You're going to, you know what God shared with me this morning? And you share that. That's what we're about here. You know, hey, God spoke to me. I got a dream. I don't know it. God give me this. But we got to get past the legalism thing of like, this is the way it has to be. Okay? And we need to think about the way God wants it to be, like Oswald says. Give elbow room to the Lord. You know? And this week I was doing some cleaning in the house, and I remember what Alton told me here a while back. He said, "Dang, boy, we go at each other, you know." And he said, "You become somewhat of a hoarder." And he laughed because I just told him he'd been singing a Jason Aldean song. What is it? Burning It Down. That's it. You look like Burning It Down. But, you know, I said, I ain't no hoarder. I just like, you know, I keep stuff, you know. I can use this later. But the Lord spoke to me this week, and I was like, good grief, why don't you look at all this stuff around here? And listen, I don't know who this is for, but somebody needs to hear this today. God's saying, I want you to clean out the closet. We're going in through a fast right now. And we stuff things back. And we just say, well, I'll use that later. I can use that. Until I was like, I don't even know where to start cleaning in this house. In certain areas, it's just like dust and stuff in that closet. I'm like, and it's hard for me to throw that stuff away.
What about Jimmy Hoffa?
Yeah, it's. But listen to me now. It's real easy to do the same thing in our walk with God. And that's what the Lord started showing me. Tell you guys this week, clean up your house. What's our house? The temple, right? Because once that clutter's there, and there may be somebody this week that's like, I just don't know where to start. And you're overwhelmed. And then you get in this where you just, and I just sat down in my chair and I don't know where to start. And I've just been honest with the Lord. And God says, start somewhere. Start somewhere. And if you're here, I want you to close your eyes. If you're here and you got something from this today, God wants to give you a word today, just like He gave me this week. And He wants you to understand. You have to start somewhere. Because if you don't, you're going to sit in that chair. And you're going to sit in that chair and you're going to keep looking at it. You're going to keep looking at it. And it's going to keep building up dust. It's going to keep, it's like rust and corrosion in your life. And God's saying this week, I want you to get rid of it. Quit living in the past. Quit living in that hurt, that bad habit, that thing that hangs you up, and you don't never get it done. You never go nowhere. You sit still. You dig your heels in, or you put your feet in the sand, and you just sing that same old song. Drinking that same old beer, that old song, like the guy, the country music singer. God, right now, mold, shape, release your Holy Spirit. Comfort those right now that's even in our minds. Right now, I feel it. There's a struggle. With somebody here that God's saying, that one thing, I want it. I want it gone. But you're struggling already. Oh, I can't. But get rid of that. Get rid of it right now. God's saying, I want that and I want it gone out of your life. I want to clean that up because I got something better to put back in that place. In its place is something you can't even imagine. Quit holding on to that one thing that is keeping you bound to that chair, that keeping you bound to that place that's not being prosperous in your life. You cannot find your gifts, your talents. You can't find your way because of the clutter. You keep tripping over it, tripping over it. You guilt and condemnation and all these things keep playing a part of it and giving that enemy a hold. And right now, in Jesus' name, I come against the enemy that would try to keep anyone bound in this room. And I release the power of the Holy Spirit to destroy those works of the enemy. And I release from heaven, it says anything that be bound on earth will be bound in heaven. And right now, bind up that strong man, that stronghold, that one thing that somebody's struggling with that just can't get lay it down and give it up. But in the name of Jesus, the name above all names and the power of the cross and the power of His obedience, break that addiction, break that bad habit, and release newness of life in Jesus' name. Now, whoever needs that, receive it. Receive it right now. Say, I receive it, Lord, if that's you. Say, I receive it, and I believe, and I have faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Can somebody praise the Lord?
Amen.
I told you I might preach. I don't know.
I got something I want to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, where I work at a nursing home rehab, and I had a lady that went in there and she was crying, and you know, not like her, and I asked her what was wrong. She said, well, my daughter's got cancer, and they don't know if she's going to make it. She's doing chemo, and so she was in like 2 or 3 hours away, so we got, you know, had to get her tanks ready to go and everything, take her, you know, and she was all upset. And before, since I got back into it, I couldn't have done what I've done. I said, and I said, well, do you mind if I pray with you? Mm-hmm. And pray for you. She said, no, I'll pray for you, you know. And I prayed, you know, and she just grabbed my hand and squeezed me, and she said, thank you for doing that. She says, I wouldn't expect something from a place where a nurse home like this that somebody would do that. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, and I said, well, I continue to pray that God's going to work a miracle and get rid of that cancer. And like I said before, I got back in and been coming here. I couldn't have done it.
Amen.
Or wouldn't have done it.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that, Kevin. Yes. You know, and your faith and prayer, your obedience to praying that gives her strength, and her faith is moved because of that. Because of your obedience to do what God told you to do. If we had more of that, cancer would dissolve. Cancer would be gone. Things that keep the sickness of everything out here, we would see a different world. Yeah. So thank you for your obedience in that and sharing. Anybody else got anything that they God spoke to them or they want to share before we break? And
I can go 30 minutes.
You are awesome. Good.
30 minutes. I could have went an hour of it.
You should.
30 minutes.
Getting started.
Yeah. But Angie's here.
Just to add to what Kevin said, when I was a hairdresser and I used to have my hands on people's heads, they never knew this, and I probably shouldn't tell it because it's the work of things that you're trying not to earn credit for, but I would say silent prayers for whatever they needed in their lives for God to come in and do things. So there was like, 20 plus heads a day.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
That, I just felt that was laid upon me.
Mm-hmm.
That was one way that I could do some of God's work in my line of work.
Heck yeah.
That's like, you
get a chance to lay hands on people. I'll let you pray on my head.
Yeah.
That's like when I done this, I said, well, I don't know what the policy is about religion around here, but if I get fired, I get fired. Yeah. I said, God's telling me to pray for this woman, and I'm going to pray for her.
That's well, mine were silent prayers, so.
Yeah.
They never even.
You and the Lord knew it. That's the main thing. That's the main thing.
And the lady did come back saying that, she got to go see her. They thought she was going to die. Mm-hmm. And that she said she was better off with them later. And she thanked me for praying. I said, well, I continue to pray for you. And I said, and I have a lot of people praying for you. I said, prayers is what's going, and the good Lord is what's going to give her through this. Mm-hmm. I said, and she kept saying, I need a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen.